Hi, this is Iris Jackson, and this is Miracles Happen, Dreams Do Come True, and I have a treat for you today. I don't even know how to introduce you. My guest is the beautiful, beloved, precious, dear, amazing, marvelous Reverend Terry Cole Whitaker. Thank you for being here, Terry.
Oh, Iris, you're so sweet and precious. There's nobody as sweet as you are, and that's true. And you all even have cute little toenails. You are painted and everything. You are. I remember when I first saw you, because we'd been talking on the phone for a long time, and I saw you, and just so colorful and sweet, and so many people love you.
Thank you, Terry. Likewise. And they love you because you have truly served and uplifted them. And, you know, I was thinking about you before the show, and I was thinking about your ministry in did it start in the 70s?
Well, yeah, but I actually started my ministry in about 1969. And what had happened is, I wrote a list. I didn't know my life's work, and this is good for people who are listening. If you, whatever you want, you know, you just, this is how it works. So I wrote a list of what I wanted with my life's work, and that was first I wanted to serve God, but I didn't know my life's work. And I said, and I wanted to help other people. I wanted to use all my talents, but I didn't know what they were. I knew a couple or whatever. I wanted to be able to make unlimited amounts of money that no one could say, I can't make any more money. I wanted my time to be my own so that I didn't have to raise my hand to go to the bathroom, you know,
nobody's permission.
I know. No permission.
We don't need no stinking badges.
No stinking permission.
I'm writing this down, so I didn't mean to interrupt, but my time to be my own. How many people even think of asking for that?
I know, because you need time for your own. That's why people need, in a sense, to be entrepreneurs or to work for that, because then nobody's going to fire them, and then they can do what they want with their lives. And I wanted time to go be with my children and do the things in school, and I wanted to travel, and I want all these things. So I didn't know what it was, and I wrote it all down. Then I visualized myself telling my mother, and I would see myself going to my mother. She was living on a boat at the time, a sailboat that she and my dad had built. And she would wear this little blue scarf, you know, and her navy blue or red on the boat. And I'd see myself say, Mom, I have the best job. And then life's work, really. I didn't want a job. I wanted life's work. And I listed everything, saying, I'm helping people. I'm serving God. I'm using all my talents. I have unlimited money, blah, blah, blah. Said all. And she said, oh, honey, I'm so happy for you. So I get into the feeling of it. You know, and I prayed and I asked God to bring this at the right time in the right way. And so in 1969, the minister one day asked me to give the talk the next week at this Wednesday healing service. And there were just little old ladies that would come, and me would go to this healing service. And I thought, well, I can't do this. I've never done a talk before. He said, oh, you'll be fine, because he probably couldn't find anybody else and he had something to do. But still... So I didn't know how to do a talk, so I took all the parts out of books that I was reading that I liked, and I'd cut out those pieces, just, you know, stole them all and taped them on this paper, and then I gave the talk. I just read the whole thing. But I had also asked a friend of mine, Joanne, to come along, to come to the talk. Well, I read the whole thing word for word, but the Holy Spirit was so heavy, so present, it was like thick in the room. I'd never felt that before. And when my talk was through, everybody just sat there like stunned. And it was like, I said, what happened? And then
God has spoken
something. And then when it was over, Joanne ran up to me and said, Terry, you're a minister. You're a speaker. I said, I am. And then I went, I am. That was it. So I started, then that's, you know, it's a wonderful way. A lot of people say, I don't know my life's work, but God knows.
Well, is that after you were an opera singer?
No, I became an opera singer after 50.
And woohoo!
Is that fun? Because
yes.
I thought I was planning for my next life to be an opera singer. And then I thought, and I wanted to be temperamental opera singer, you know. So
a
all,
diva. A diva. A full-fledged diva.
Oh, yeah. And you know, very flamboyant. And men would bring me all these flowers, and I could be have tantrums and all this. So, like Maria Callas, you know. So then I thought, well, why wait for my next life? So I just did the same thing. I just inside, you see, if you're ready for something, what a lot of people don't realize is that they might think their prayers aren't answered or they're not getting what they really want, but they're not either sincere. That's not really their own idea, but what somebody else told them they should do. They're not really ready for it because they've got fears and blockages that are blocking it. But you have to be really sincere. You have to agree. So I just, inside, I said, yeah, I could do that. So I asked for the right teacher. So then one of my students happened to one day, she was a singer, just said, oh, you know, because she knew I used to sing, and she said, oh, I have the best teacher. And he's just like us. He's got the same philosophy. Well, this is up in Seattle, and I went to study with the maestro, the greatest teacher you could believe. Never criticized. Never judged, never told me what I did wrong, never even if I was late said you're late, never even if I missed an appointment said you missed an appointment, never.
It sounds like you pushed him a little bit too.
No, I didn't. He was awesome. And he said it's all confidence. He used positive reinforcement. And then when I would sing correctly, because he would give me exercises, he'd say, that's it. Remember that. That you did it right there, right there. That was it.
So he would anchor. He was truly a
yes.
great teacher. He would just anchor
on what worked.
He would find it with you, but he also would find the divine in you. He would
yes.
He would connect his divine with yours, and then you would feel it. It's sort of like that thing in you used to say a lot in your sermons on television is. And I don't mean to call them sermons. They're the most uplifting thing I've ever seen. And you shone like the sun, and you
wow.
still do.
Whoa.
But also, Terry, there's something about you, and I don't want to, you know, go away from this topic and this maestro because that's
mm-hmm.
very important.
Oh yeah, he's one of my greatest teachers. What I've learned from him.
There's something in you that you're reserved for my marvelous list.
Aww.
And there's people that inspire me. There's people that uplift me. There's people that remind me of who I am. And then there's also you do all of that and. You have this, you are authentic. You share your really true self, and you give people a bridge no matter where they are, no matter what they've done, no matter how low they feel in terms of how far they are from what they want.
Mm-hmm.
You make it accessible, and that is such a great gift.
Oh. Well, you know, that's because that's what I always wanted. See, and so what a wonderful thing, because when I know that I wanted that, I know everybody else wants that too. We want to be, see, there's nothing wrong with any of us, but we've been taught something's wrong with us. And there were set, people say, well, what's wrong with you? Or you're stupid. Or you can't be trusted. Or you never do anything right, or you're ugly, or you're too fat, or you're too thin, or you blah, blah, blah. They go on. And what happens is, at the level of the soul, we're all perfect because we're part of God. We're made in the image and likeness of God. Therefore, we're part of where we come from, and God is perfect and beautiful and loving and opulent. And this is who we are as the soul. But what it is we're also, we have a mind and we have a body, and these are material. These are part of the material world. And so it doesn't mean that all of our choices are perfect. It doesn't mean we have perfect knowledge. So what we've done is we have misidentified ourselves with a body and a mind. And we've misidentified ourselves with all that we've been programmed to believe is true. And that's not true. And so everybody, it's like my older daughter was crying and telling her sister, she said, you know, and she's 50, I'll never be okay with Dad. Dad'll never ever approve of me or think I'm good enough. And I thought, she's 50. But, I mean, I divorced him years and years and years ago because he's, poor soul, he's so in pain and hurt that he's not okay with himself. So how could anybody else be okay?
Especially his child.
Especially. And so
she's
tortured
from that.
But
not only that, if he approves of her, it's saying he's okay and he did something that turned out.
Right.
And
he gets the credit for that.
Yeah. Well, you know, I went to a shrink years ago and he said about that, nobody can treat anybody better than they treat themselves.
Yeah.
And that just gave me so much compassion for people that do that.
I know, because they're hurting. And it was my younger daughter, she told me, and I didn't know this had happened, but many years ago, her father, this, you know, my ex-husband, he and his new wife took her to a psychiatrist. I would have been very upset. But anyway, took her to a psychiatrist. And they had their session, and then the psychiatrist met with Becky. And she said, honey, your parents are insane. She said, you decide how you want to live your life and focus on that. Rebecca said, it was so fabulous. It made such a difference. She just told him, your parents are insane.
So they were actually divinely guided to do that.
It, yes. Oh, it's
woo-hoo!
All perfect. And that did it. Because at first I thought, you know, when she said it, oh, how could they do that? And then she said, no, it was great.
You know, it's really a blessing to have insane parents because I think that a lot of people buy the whole package. Their parents tell them the way life is.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was about 8 or 9, I started noticing that none of the things they said were true. And actually, my parents did so many insane things, I couldn't buy anything. I really had to look inside and find the truth,
yes,
and find God.
That's beautiful. That's true. And that if people would do that, because a lot of times people believe that, and they believe these people who are hurting and these people who have identity crises, really, because we're children of God and we're all perfect souls, but they have an identity crisis. They identify with their body. So if the body starts to look old, they feel bad. They think nobody wants them. You know, they identify with their money. So if they lose their money, what they do is they think something's wrong with them. So they're always identifying with things outside rather than perfect identity,
serving
which is
the
perfect
master.
Children of God.
Uh-huh. It's serving the false master.
Yes, that's it.
Woo-hoo!
Woo! No, it's all, you know, I just love the teachings of Jesus, and I was reading them again. And yesterday Easter, I went with a friend of mine over to another friend's house, and we took these plastic Easter eggs, and inside put all these different Bible quotes from Jesus and also some from the Bhagavad Gita. And the deal was, and then we made an egg hunt in the house for the adults. They found the eggs, and then they had to read their quote and then give a sermon on that. Give a little, what does that mean to you? It was really cool. You know, it's like making a party meaningful.
How fun.
It was. And so it was really great because, you know, these great scriptures of the great religions give us truth. Somebody doesn't even have to change their religion. All they have to do is practice it.
Yeah.
That's an original idea.
You know, that thing that I think Chesterton said this, the only thing wrong with Christianity is it's never been tried.
It's never been tried. That's it. Nobody's done it. I just love it. And then people say, well, I'm a Christian. I thought, no, no, you don't say that. People will say that about you because you're applying it. But everybody says, oh, I'm a Christian, and then they hate people, and they want to kill them. I said, no, 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 that's not. And Jesus wasn't a Christian. He wasn't a Jew either.
He was in trouble with the whole religious establishment for telling the truth.
For telling the truth.
I've been through that, the sit down and shut up syndrome.
I know.
And
you know, this one
that's
lady.
That's how he was treated.
That's how he's treated. This one, and not everybody around him even saw his miracles, believed him. They didn't even believe, very few believed him.
Even the people that saw his miracles.
Yeah, they didn't believe him. And he even said in the, it's, I think in the Gospel of Judas, which is really, really good, these are from the, you know, the Gnostic books that they found in the cliffs in the desert around Egypt. And they give, it was really great. And Jesus even said to one of his disciples, he says, people are so in so much doubt that you have to have miracles before they'll even start to believe in God. And then people doubt it.
You know, Terry, I don't understand that because I look at a tulip and I say, how could anybody doubt there's God?
I know. I agree. And even how the body functions so perfectly. There's this most wonderful book. I really would really recommend people get it off the internet and download it. It's called The Amazing Liver Cleanse. And Amazing Liver Cleanse, and it's by Moritz. Andreas Moritz, and I've had this book for years, and I'm right now doing my 30th liver cleanse, and it explains how the body functions, and it's so easy, and people need to take responsibility for their health, and a lot of people, they just don't. They wait until they're in desperate need, and then they go hand their lives over to somebody else, but this liver forms 500 functions. But I was reading that book again today, and I thought, how amazing the body is. How can anybody think that there is not intelligent design behind everything? Even the body of a little ant. Even, as you said, the tulip and the tree, and how perfectly everything is. And what happens is humankind thinks, well, there's no God, and something's wrong with the world, so we're going to fix it.
You know what pisses me off, Terry?
What?
I probably can't say this, especially to you.
Say it. Go ahead.
Sorry. Well, I already said the
yes.
P word.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah. it's like, you know, that people think it's all right to shoot something down from the sky that can fly and they can't do it themselves.
Yes.
And to say that something doesn't have a soul, and that makes it okay to kill it. And
now,
I'm
see, we're given dominion, but dominion means to be a caretaker. The only see what happened is if they read the book of Genesis in the beginning, chapter 2, it says after God created the cattle, that's cows, and cows are not animals; they're part of the bovine race. Human bodies are not animal bodies; they're human bodies. You see, and so after that. Then it says they created, this is Mother, Father, God together, because creation is a twofold thing, spirit and matter. And then they created the human body to take care of everybody else. We're supposed to be taking care of the animals, the cows, the deer, you know, the rabbits, the dogs and cats and whatever, and the plants. This is our job. That's what we are here for.
I'm waiting for you to say that thing that I love about the babysitters.
Oh, yeah. And what it is, we're the babysitters that are beating up, abusing, exploiting, and eating the children. That's what we're doing.
Stop that.
I know. It's terrible. Well, why there's so many problems. People have no ideas. The universe is a cause and effect machine. And what you give out, you get back. So if you abuse an animal, you will be abused. Because God doesn't see it as an animal. See, because it's a soul in an animal body. That's all.
Well,
and we've had those.
Well, that thing of saying that an animal doesn't have a soul dismisses it as something to be used.
If they don't understand, if they should see a soul, they have to understand a soul means animation. It means it can move.
It's an expression of God.
Exactly. And what it is if you seek, if you've ever been with cows, cows have feelings. They cry when their babies are taken away. They cry when it's time for the baby to be fed. They love them. They kiss them. They lick them.
And
they show affection.
Other, they have friends and love.
And they
each
have
other.
Friends, yes.
And they befriend other species also.
Yes.
They're very gentle, they're very loving, they're very kind. And
they're the kindest of all because they're the most giving, and they give everything for the welfare of humanity. So we're supposed to take care of them. And when they die, naturally, then you can use their skins. Then you can use all the different parts because that's you don't kill them to use it.
And tell about that video that you sent, that you emailed to me, Terry. I would really like everyone to see that.
Okay. It's called The Sacred Cow, and it is such a beautiful video on how life works so naturally and so perfectly and beautifully, and the place of the cow, and how we've all been programmed. And this is the thing that I've been really working on a lot in teaching, is that wonder if everything that you've ever learned or heard just about is not true. It's all been programming us to buy something.
The Matrix.
It's the Matrix. And people are all afraid that some robot is going to, you know, take over and the robots are going to run. The robots are already running everything. And that means that people who don't know who they are being run by their minds. And so we're not a mind, we have a mind. You have to control your mind. And unless you control your mind will destroy you because it's not in the position to be in charge. It has to be controlled. And when it's not controlled, it doesn't know what to do. So it's terrified, and it does, it's like it jumps from here to there and tortures us with thoughts and all this. So really, the robots are running things, and it's as if people are dead. So the planet is full of the walking dead, who are robots, who are simply programmed, and they're operating from the program. It's not a fear of some other robot that's coming that another mind has created. It's already happening. And so the whole key, and like what Jesus was teaching all the great mystics and teachers, is we have to wake up. We have to wake up to who we are. And who we are is children of God in the family business. We're here to be loving and kind and sweet and help each other. And this sacred cow, if they're interested, if they email me, then I'll email them the link. Or if they email you, I sent you the link. So that they, if they want it, they can get that link. Unless you email it out to everybody.
Well, I'm sure that people listen that I don't have on my list.
I know. Should I give them my email?
Yes, give them all the ways they can reach
okay.
you and participate with you, Terry.
Okay, Terry, T-E-R-R-Y, at Terry, T-E-R-R-Y-C-O-L-E, W-H-I-T-T-A-K-E-R.com. TerryColeWhitaker.com. And if you go to www.terrycolewhitaker.com and you put in your email address, then you get my newsletter free, and I also send you a free book that I wrote called Three Keys to Fortune. It's a wonderful little book, and I'll send it to you. But you also, if you email me at terry@terrycolewhitaker.com, I'll email you that link on the Sacred Cow, and I'll also email you the link, if you want it, on this amazing liver cleanse. Because, you know, people are just being, we're being lied to all the time. And so that's why disease is on the increase. And in countries where they don't eat animals and such, cancer is almost unknown. It's not even happening. Heart attacks didn't start happening until like around the 20s or 30s in America because of the diet. People didn't even have heart attacks.
Were they eating something different?
Yeah, we started eating more meat, but processed foods, chemicals in them, everything that just started to be fake.
You know, I am concerned about how people sort of just lay down and take it. Like, I learned about this proposition, this thing that's before Congress
right
now, H.R. 875, which in effect outlaws organic farms because it's the result of a lobby of Monsanto.
They're criminals.
Yes. Yeah, well, you say more about that. This could only go through if people are asleep and not paying attention.
Right. Well, the lie is they said they want organic farmers to use pesticides and chemicals to protect the health of the people. Now, first of all,
we don't want poison food.
Yes, we don't want poison food. That's why we do organic, because it's natural. God made everything perfect. But the Monsanto, they don't care about you. The pharmaceutical companies don't care about you. The medical profession, per se, does not care about you.
The bottom line.
The bottom line, nobody cares about you other than your money that they can control and take, money and power. So we have to wake up to what's truth, and the truth has always been the truth. God made everything perfect. We just have to understand how it works. So I did. I sent in my letters to the senator and congressperson about that, because it's not right. And they're already Monsanto and other, they put patents on seeds that you can't even grow those seeds because they belong to them. They've also made it that the seeds that they sell you and the farmers to grow won't produce more seeds.
They're not self-perpetuating.
They won't make more seeds, which is the natural way, so that you have to buy your seeds from them, and they've been altered. It's like, that's not right. And if you allow that to happen, you know, people just get sicker and sicker, but the people on the, you know, pharmaceuticals and all, they don't care, because what they want to do is they want to have drug, sex, and rock and roll, and they're going to get the money from you, and that's about it.
And they can only keep doing that if you're asleep.
Exactly.
And, you know, I've been starting speaking for the American people, and I wrote a letter that ended up in the newspaper.
You did?
One of those petitions, yeah, and I said, the American people will not be poisoned. We've had enough crap. We are not laying down for this. You cannot poison us. You cannot spray us with brown apple moth spray. We will not lay down and roll over. And cut the shit.
Right.
That's basically what I said. And it went to my senators and congressmen and to the newspaper, and they called me.
Who did? The newspaper?
Yes.
Wow, what'd they say?
I said, you know, I want to say a couple other things while I'm at it. And they printed it.
Oh, Iris, I'm so proud of you.
You never know how far it will go when you speak up.
Right. People think it's too hard, but it's not.
Well, you know what else? I'm calling forth that spirit that Americans put the tea in the harbor. Don't mess with us anymore.
That's right.
We will not be run by corporations.
No.
This is a democracy, and we are awake now. And take charge of, see, we have to be responsible for America, too. We live in the heart of the world.
Yes, we do. It's a melting pot of all nations and all religions.
Yes.
We're all here. And we're here, and we are one people, one family.
Yep. That's right. All of us everywhere.
Yes. All of us. We're all God's children. There's only one God. Everybody agrees with that. And everybody agrees that God is love. So I've started a new religion. It's just the religion of love. That's it.
And like the Dalai Lama said, my religion is kindness.
And that's sweet. Yeah, to be kind.
Yeah. You know,
there's a lot of people who, like, are Buddhists and such who actually eat meat. They justify and they eat animals.
Well,
but Buddha came to teach nonviolence, ahimsa, and not to eat animals.
Well, Terry, you know, I don't eat animals, but, you know, I have noticed in myself that my compassion goes down to a certain level. Like, I have compassion up to a point with ants and fleas and ticks and termites. As long
well,
as
that's all right. If they're attacking you and they're going to hurt your body, you have a right to do that, only because you have to survive. And you're not out there. It's like ants are amazing.
I love them.
I do too. I share my house with ants, and they only come in when I've got a mess, so I have to keep everything really nice. And they're the cleanup crew. And so I saw this on the it was on the Discovery Station, because I don't have a TV, but when I was traveling and I'm in a hotel, and these ants from Africa are so amazing. They operate like one body, and they're all blind. And there's like four different body types of the ants, each for a different function. They know exactly their function, and they work for the good of the all. And I thought, if we could just start to think like that.
You know, I've seen a program, I can't think what it is, but an ant will be walking along the path and carrying a bunch of food, and it'll meet another ant and give it half its food.
Wow. You know, in this video on the sacred cow, it was showing like a village in India that was so sweet, and how the really nice way to live, the simple living, and how simple living is the healthiest and the best. And it was saying, talking about, you know, a family would have a cow, and that cow, you know, would give them milk and also gives cow dung, and that means the manure, which it's very medicinal. The cow urine actually is a medicine. A lot of people, they think, oh, yuck, but they just don't understand. And like when I was in India, if I ever got sick, I would drink cow urine and I'd be well immediately. It's a miracle drug, and it's free. It's just there. So anyway, they were saying that if a person has hard times and fall, or their cow dies, or they have difficulty, the other neighbors then give them a cow, and they help them during hard times. And I was thinking how a lot of us, we don't even know our neighbors, and we don't even get along because we're so self-centered. We've become so afraid of people and so into the body concept instead of into the spiritual concept of who we really are as children of God. And I thought, that is we need to have villages. We need to live in have the village consciousness, and we can start it right where we are by getting to know our neighbors or being kind or giving something. But people say, well, yeah, what am I going to get back? You know, and it's like that they're going against their own nature. And what they do is they suffer for it because they live in fear and they live in poverty. And it's that whole idea of prosperity is we are prosperity. Prosperity is who we are. It's not something you get. It's something you already have. But if you don't use it, then you have lack in your outer world because you think you're not enough and you think you don't have enough. But I thought that little video on the sacred cow was like to teach people, don't be afraid of what's going on in the world. Don't at all, because it's a reordering of things. It's a rectification of the world according to the divine perfection, the divine heavenly perfection.
Well, also, I've been getting like the thing with the banks.
Yep.
Which they cooked up themselves.
Of course they did. It's all a lie. There's no scarcity out there. They're all one. They're all taking all the money. There's no way to account for it. They've got, then somebody on the internet is something said, in this difficult times, make friends with your banker. They're your best friend. And I wrote an article I write every month for the Science of Mind magazine. And then I responded in that and said, if people lied to you before, why would you ever believe liars again? They're all lying.
Well, see, but you know what I feel has happened here?
What?
Is they forgot that a bank is a bunch of people put their money together.
Right.
And so it's not working for them because people aren't making their payments. They will not pay them back on the money they loan them that doesn't exist.
Right.
And so so what I feel is happening is people that are losing their jobs, like the neighborhood Yardbirds, Home Depot closed here.
Uh-huh.
And people were so upset and so sad, you would have thought a bunch of people died, mm-hmm. when actually the universe is saying, come to me, look inside, I will show you at what is your life's work, and all they have to do is what you did. Make this list.
Yes, that's it. Say, God, what do you want me to do? What is it?
Yeah.
Call it good. Don't call it bad. Call it good and say, okay, this is a gift from God. God's giving me a message of a better way to live. You know, I was driving down the freeway a few years ago, and there was a big billboard that said, if you had all the money in the world, the rest of us would use something different. Doesn't that put it right where it's at?
Yes. And
it's manufactured. Let's use something different.
Let's go back to the source.
You go back to the source. Let's be kind. Let's be loving. Let's share. Let's help each other. And you know what I see, too? I see that it would be really great for people to come together in, like, cooperatives to buy a piece of property. And then on that, then they do their farming and they live there and they do whatever. And they become self-sufficient. So that we get off the grid and we don't play their money game. See, we have so much power. And we talked about, you know, what we were going to talk about on the show before and all that. It was about the power of the soul. We're soul power. We are more powerful than atomic energy, hydrogen energy, nuclear power, because those are all material. Those are all universal. We are made of antimatter. We are spiritual beings. We are co-creators. We create in the same way that God does because we have those same qualities of God, but not the quantity. We're not God, but we're part of God. So there's the big God with the big G, and God is basically a job description. So there is God, and there God has many names, pastimes, and qualities. But just like we're little gods with the little G, and that is also a job description. And that means that we're God's representatives here. Our hands and our face and our feet and our bodies and everything are to be used in service for the soul to develop. See, bodies don't evolve, but souls evolve. And that we are here to awaken to the fullness of who we really are. And that the people already have the power. So don't believe anything you see on television or movies or newspaper. Everything is deliberately being written and videoed and everything to program your mind so that you believe what you're hearing. People say, well, it's on TV, it must be true. If it's in that movie, it must be true. If Walter Cronkite said it years ago, it must be true. They were all paid to say what they say. And so it's like that whole thing, if we just divert our attention, just like organic milk didn't used to be there. And the milk I do, I buy raw organic milk from organic pastures where that milk is good. There's nothing wrong with it. They sing to their cows. The cows get to graze in the pastures. They're loved. They're cared for.
Do they still take their
I know.
Babies?
You're going to ask, but they still do. They're trying to work on it. But in this movie, the short movie, The Sacred Cow, shows how you use the bulls. Bulls will generate energy. They will pump the wells. They will generate your electricity for your house.
You know what? And they're happy to do that. Please don't take them away from their mothers when they're
Never.
Babies. Because, Terry, then when you're drinking the milk, you're drinking the quality of
it's the mother's love
from the mother.
Yeah, they never take the babies away from the mothers or anything. And see, that's what we want. We want to live. See, I think we've had enough in the West of what we, all the stuff. We bought all the stuff and noticed we're still fighting with each other, still not happy. It's still never enough because it's not the outside, it's the inside. We are enough already. And if we just focus on what we want, turn your attention away from what you don't want. Put it to where what's really true. We all have the power. Right now, we could boycott every single product, company, bank, organization that's out there in a second. Withdraw your energy from them. They will die. The politicians and all of that will just, they're our employees. I don't care who they are. They're supposed to be doing what we want. We're paying their salaries. And then they turn around and tell us what to do.
I say that in my senator and congressman letters.
Oh, good.
Remember, you work for us.
That's good, Iris.
Do what we said.
Did you? Why don't you send that letter out to me? Did you have copy?
No. In fact, I lost the website, but there are several websites on HR 875, and
okay.
I urge people to speak up. And I was going to ask if people could email you for the letter that you wrote to your senator and congressman.
Mine was really short. I didn't really do a lot. I have to write a better one. So it's HR
875, and it's before... It's before Congress now.
All right. I wrote and told them what I thought, but I didn't do it as wonderfully as you did.
Oh, Terry, you
so
do
that's
everything
so inspiring.
Wonderfully.
No, it's
you
so
do
inspiring.
Everything wonderfully.
If everybody out there just, you know, it's like they don't realize how much power they have. The same as in their lives. If we look in our lives, we feel powerless. We're so afraid of what's going to happen to us. All fear is about fear of the future, that in the future I won't be happy. But happiness
never gets here.
Never does.
It's always now.
It's always now. Because happiness is what we're made of. We're made of bliss. Satchitananda, eternity, consciousness, and bliss is the nature of every
again.
Soul.
Satchitananda.
Satchitananda. Satchitananda. That's Sanskrit describing the nature of the soul.
Spell it.
S-A-T-C-H-I-T. A-N-A-N-D-A, Ananda. Ananda means bliss. Eternity, see, in spiritually, there is no time, and there's not even eternal time. There's no now spiritually. It's just us, being. That's all. We're always being. Always have been, always will be. We're just being. So you can be miserable, you can be happy, you can be in love, you can be in hate.
Well, you know, I think the real... when comes when not only you write a list of I want to help people, I want to serve the divine,
right.
I want to use all my talents, I want to make unlimited money,
right.
I want my time to be my own.
Mm-hmm.
And then you visualize telling someone
how wonderful your job is. And then when I would go visit my mother, she said, "Do you have a job?" She wouldn't say what I thought. I said, "No, Mom, I'm visualizing." She said, "You're what?" She said, "Terry, get a job." So I thought, well, I can't tell her because she just doesn't understand. But I still used that. And then later on, you know, I was able to tell my mom how wonderful my work was because then God gave it to me because I asked for it. If you ask sincerely, truly, to the God presence who's with you all the time and everywhere present, you will get your answer.
And, you know, after I make this list of everything I want, that I
mm-hmm.
want to serve God, that I want to really help and uplift
mm-hmm.
people, and I want to use all my talents and all of that, and then visualize, and you're talking about something Dr. Joe Vitale says, which is you Nevilleize. Have you read Neville?
Mm-hmm.
Have you read Neville?
Years ago. I met his son. His son's still alive down, lives in Hemet.
Well, you know, he talks about...
I remember reading him years ago.
You know what it says in the Bible about you, that the Lord promised that whatever ground you stand on becomes your own?
Wow.
And so you're talking about that when you're telling your mother how happy you are
right.
in advance.
Right, in advance. Because you know that it's that affirmation. You ask. You always have to ask first. You don't just tell God first. You ask. And then you affirm and know that that is true and that God will bring you this or that which is far greater that you had no idea of.
And I think you have to, say to God, you know, after you've done all that, I think you have to say to God, thy will, not mine, be done. Whatever, you know, I give myself
yes.
full, I give you full possession of me and
yes.
my process. And
yes. That's called surrender to God, that not my will, but thy will be done.
And
so that my will, that your will now becomes my will. I want whatever God wants. Because God, there was this lady on the internet, it talked about she was 115, and they had asked her, how did she live so long? She said, well, I never worried. I figured if God could run the universe, God could run my life.
Woohoo!
Isn't that great?
That just gives you a chill on the back of your neck, doesn't it?
Yeah! I mean, now here we are, these little pipsqueaks. We're like a flea on a whale, but even like a little grain of sand in all the beaches. And we're gonna tell God how to do stuff. No. When we surrender, we then become partners. Because it isn't just a one-sided. God loves us. And I was listening to one of my teachers and, because I listen to CDs and all that all the time, and was saying how in the scriptures, this is in the Vedic scriptures, it was saying that no matter how degraded, how despicable, this is all according to our terms, how filthy, how nasty, how ugly, how repulsive we may think that person is, God adores them and worships them and loves them beyond anything you could imagine. Never, ever sees any of that.
Well, I just ask for God to be my eyes and
yes,
see
that's very good.
And to see people as God sees them and
yes.
and allow God's love to come through. And you say this lots, Terry, that the only thing that can be off purpose is when you stop the flow of God's love.
That's it.
You don't have to worry about a thing.
Negative emotions are all destructive, and they're the result of our thought that this isn't good. And so then as soon as you call it bad, you feel bad. And this is what causes death. See, at one time we didn't die in the body, and then if you read the book of Genesis, and in the beginning that God, no, it'd be in chapter 2 then, God said, have fun in the garden, because we were in the garden with God. And earth is still the Garden of Eden. This is still the kingdom of God. And he said, don't eat of this tree over here, which is the judgment of the knowledge of good and evil, because then you will die. So what they did, as naturally kids do, they're going to test it, they're going to do it anyway. Now the problem is, people think that then God got mad at Adam and Eve, which is representing us, and then punish them, and that's all a lie. Zoroaster is the guy who is from Babylonia, who interjected into Judaism, Islam, and Christianity the concept of an angry, vengeful, mean, and nasty God, and that we were all evil, bad sinners, and it's all a lie. We are good. God is good. God is sweet. God's kind. God loves. God wasn't mad at us, but we felt shame because we judged ourselves as bad.
Well, you know, I think that's why people did start dying is because they felt guilty.
They did, and they punished themselves.
And they were afraid to look on the face of God.
We feel so ashamed. I've done that before. If I don't have time, I haven't had time to go to my altar with you know, my worship, and then I start to feel, God's going to be mad at me. I thought, stop. That's old programming. Then I'm afraid because it's always this right us being with God. And the moment I'm with God, there is no past. There's nothing there. It's all in the mind.
Well, not only that, you know, the real point mm-hmm. of spending time at the altar is to know God's will and do
That's
God's
right.
will. And Terry, I know you are a woman of action, and you are whatever you're doing, and is waking or sleeping you're doing to serve God, to use your talents, to to have your time be your own. You are doing those things which are on purpose and to free people, regardless of what you're doing. I mean, when I go to sleep at night, I ask to be taken to the temples to work on core issues for the entire planet and
it's
all
so
life
beautiful,
everywhere.
Beautiful, Iris.
And you do too.
Well, I used to ask that I could go out at night and work. I'd be so tired in the morning. So I said, I can't do that anymore at night. But and then people would tell me that I came to their hospital bed and everything, and I didn't go. I was sleeping. You know, I'm going to be in San Francisco for the New Living Expo, and that's April 24th and 25th. So that'll be, if people come to that New Living Expo, that's going to be nice.
Yes, and it's always wonderful to see you speak because you are like the sun. And I wanted to say, I wanted to go back to marveling at you. because my list of people I marvel at are people that not only inspire, uplift, and motivate me to be all that I am, but also they're people that I marvel about all they have accomplished and are accomplishing and are giving. And I just marvel that one person could do all the things that you're doing.
Iris, you do so many things. You're just this radio program. You're reaching hundreds of thousands of people out there all over the world, and they get to hear truth.
Oh, thank you, Terry.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess I wanted to say that you're on my list of people that I would be ashamed to give God anything less than all I could give.
Mm. Well, a lot of times I think I don't give enough, but only, you know, it's like that's all we have to do is get out of our own way because, you know, everybody has gifts to give. And that's what my work is about, is to really inspire and teach and really encourage people right where they are. That right where they are is a perfect right place for them to be, to really have a beautiful life. And a lot of times they think we have to get away or can't be here or I'm too old or too young or I don't have enough money. Wait a minute. All these issues, this is training ground. This is school. So all of these, and it's also the garden. And this is the school. And a lot of people think that they don't have enough. And Greek two-valued logic is that opposites really can't exist at the same time. So it's that all-or-nothing philosophy. It's such a lie, and it is so screwed up Western philosophy. It's all-or-nothing. And they say, well, if you're going to do a job, you might as well do it right or don't even do it at all. Well, what does that mean? Nobody starts anything because you're not perfect? You start with what you got.
Well, besides that, nobody knows what's, you know, like I used to worry all the time about whether I was doing God's will.
Uh-huh.
And my husband, he's so wise, and he said, when are you going to find out if he likes it? And his message to me was like, do you like it?
Yes.
Are you happy with it?
Are you happy with it? And you know, he likes us to be nice to each other. Be kind, like you said. Just think, if we were just kind. And I know it's hard to be kind, because when I started learning, I decided I'm going to be a nice person. I'm going to be kind. It was hard. I started out as a nice person as a little kid. And then, you know, as things happen, you start, you get your feelings hurt, or you think you're going to act like these other people who are nasty, you know, because maybe, but they're better than we are. And all of a sudden, we find ourselves as really kind of mean-hearted, cruel, like I did myself. And so to train ourselves to really know what other people feel like and to be as nice and as kind and loving as we possibly can would be the greatest thing that we could do right where we are.
You know what else? You know, we talk about hugging trees and stuff,
mm-hmm.
and we've really got to wind up, but I know. You know, it's like feel people's skin.
Mm-hmm.
feel their skin. People are so vulnerable, so sweet, so, I don't know, unprotected. And we just need to really, 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 really love each other. And the animals, too. And stop saying they're not intelligent. And really
they are all intelligent. There was a spider crawling on my wall, and I said, "Hey, you." He stops. No, he's not going to move. Did he hear me? Was he looking at me?
Absolutely.
Absolutely, because, see, all souls, we're all the same. We're made of an equal part of God, but we're so tiny. We're the tiniest of the tiny. They say 10,000 of us fit on the end of a piece of hair. We're atomic in nature, and that means you take an end of the piece of your hair, cut it into 100 pieces, and then cut those 100 pieces into another 100 pieces, each one of them. That's 1/10,000th the piece of end of hair, and that we're so small, but we're so vulnerable, and that
Terry, I'm sorry, we've gone over, but I don't feel like we're done. Can you come back next week?
Sure.
Can you come back next Monday?
Yeah.
Okay, you're on because we're not nearly through.
Okay.
And thank you for listening. Thank you for being here. I love you. I thank you. I serve the I Am Presence in all, and I ask that everyone do that and nothing else. And I just want to say one more thing, that I feel the overhaul in the economy is we will not tolerate businesses, corporations, or governments, anything else that does not serve the happiness and the well-being and the divinity of all and honoring life. We won't have it.
Yes.
And so it is. We have
so
spoken.
Yes. We have spoken.
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you. Keep shining until then. Happy trails to you till we meet again. I love you. And this is my wish for you. That all your dreams come true and are 1,000 times more wonderful than you ever dreamed possible. Amen, women, children, and yeehaw!